For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, here for another hour of news, views and opinion about the non-league game. Joining me as ever, former manager of Hendon Harrow, Borough, AFC Wimbledon and many more, Mr. Dave Anson. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, mate.
And completing the team, it's FC United's commentator and all-round non-league opinion holder, Swampy. Good afternoon, Swampy.
Yeah, good afternoon, Tim. Good afternoon, Dave.
Afternoon.
Well, Christmas nearly upon us, chaps. Is your list into Santa?
Possibly. We'll have to see.
Maybe we'll have to see what list you're on. Yeah.
Well, when you talk about lists, our fixture list is basically in the month of December. We've already played second spot. We played third spot. We play fifth spot next week, and then we play Salford City twice, and we're top. So when you're second from the bottom of a division, then that's not necessarily the Christmas list that you wanted, but we've got 4 points so far out of it, so it's not been too bad, but not the best Christmas list.
Oh, it's a good time. It's a good time to play people, because form becomes a little bit erratic at this time of year, and as managing teams at the top of the division, which I've done, I never ever liked it. Managing teams at the bottom, which I've also done, I never minded it. So I would say that you'll pick up some points that you wouldn't expect over the next sort of week or two.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, Harrogate, we beat Harrogate at home, and we got a draw against Brackley. You know, we're two full-time teams. We've done tremendously well, and Spennymoor on the 23rd of this month, and then we've got a double header against Salford City, who are top, obviously, full-time as well. So I think the trickiest game out of them, to be honest, will be Spennymoor, who are actually firing on all cylinders at this moment in time. And it's a long trip up to the northeast of England as well. But you're right, Dave. I think when you're in the position we've been in, new manager who's come in and done tremendously well, Tom Greaves, you know, he's showing that you can go out there, play some attractive football, and you can compete with the big boys, even if you are part-time yourselves.
Yeah.
Some interesting news this week from Buckland Athletic, who played down near Newton Abbot in Devon in the Western Football League Premier at Step 5. After the departure of their manager this week, they've gone back to former gaffer Adam Castle as an interim manager for an indefinite period. Nothing unusual there, perhaps, but until you learn that he now lives in Cork in Ireland. Apparently, he's already booked flights into Exeter Airport for match days and has appointed a coach, Mark Revel, who lives local, known to the club, but it's going to be something of a challenge, I'd imagine. Other news this week, Ebbsfleet United have announced that the Swanscombe end will be closed for 5 weeks for works to be carried out to the terracing, and that'll enable them to meet requirements in time for the National League grading deadline in March for them to go up, I guess. And also Marine have announced a new stadium development that will see the existing 1929 timber building demolished, which I guess is probably a bit of a notice of intent of the club as a whole. But let's move on and let's speak to some clubs and some guests at the FA Trophy coming up this weekend. So let's look ahead to the weekend, and it's FA Trophy. In come the National League boys this round, 32 ties, and there are some big matches between them. One that caught our eye sees National League strugglers Leyton Orient travelling the short distance to Coles Park, North London, and the home of Bostic North Haringey Borough. Joining us on the line to tell us how preparations are going is Haringey boss Tom Loizou. Good afternoon, Tom.
Good afternoon.
Now, it is a big game for you at home to Leyton Orient this weekend, but it's actually a bit of a local derby. I bet you never expected that sort of local derby.
Yeah, fantastic draw. I mean, the previous round, I said to the players, I said, if we manage to get through this round, there's always the opportunity or the chance to play Leyton Orient. And the first name out of the hat, I think, was us, and the second one, Leyton Orient. So that was a little bit of fate for you, weren't it?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like one that you know, we certainly still think you've got a chance, but yeah, I think you've got a couple of injuries going into this game, which probably doesn't help you prepare too well.
I wish if it was a couple of injuries. All in all, there's seven players out, from the goalkeeper to two centre-halves, centre midfield player, a centre-forward, and also a suspension to our top goal scorer. So it's not looking good for us at the moment, but what I will say, this is what non-league's all about, and giving youngsters a chance. And we've got a good crop of youngsters, and hopefully they will do us proud, as I'm sure they will do.
And obviously, Orient have got a new manager in there, means they've probably changed the way they play completely. Have you been able to do any sort of relevant scouting ahead of the game, or is it just go in and do what you can?
Not. We sent someone to see the game last week, They played Sutton and they beat the team top of the league 4-1. So it seems like everything's stacked against us at the moment. New manager coming in, so everyone's going to play for the new manager. And they got a fantastic result at the weekend. We've had a look at them, and we need to get 11 out on the pitch first and worry what we're going to do. We know exactly how Leighton Orient played last Saturday, but whether knowing that or not helps us or not, we'll see Saturday.
You're not on Santa's naughty list, are you? It doesn't sound like it's going to be your week at the moment.
Well, it sounds like that at the moment because we were jumping up and down when the draw was made 2-3 weeks ago, and all of a sudden we already had 2 or 3 injuries and we've accumulated a few more plus suspensions. We've just got to go out there and enjoy the day. Everybody's got a chance, no matter who you are. The youngsters have got a point to prove. And sometimes when you don't play your strongest side, you seem to turn out better results and better performances because everybody will be fighting for a place, whether they're 18 years old or 28 years old. So we're all looking forward to it. We're gonna take it as an enjoyable day for us and a little bit of experience for some of our players. And whatever comes, we'll take it.
Dave, you got any advice for Tom to how to prepare that team?
Yeah, don't listen to retired managers would be my first bit of advice. But you're always looking for positives when these sort of things happen. The one thing I'd say, Tom, is they won't fancy going to your place.
No, not at all. I think you're absolutely right. And their records showed their performances and their results playing on an AstroTurf last 2-3 games. So, you know, it's not all doom and gloom for us. And we want to try and take any positive we can and move forward with it.
And the other thing as a manager, I always, Terry Brown used to say that the magic of the FA Cup or the FA Trophy, you'd get people who were injured all of a sudden being fit. So you'll know that everyone that isn't fit is absolutely legitimate. There's no one crying out of this game for sure, is there?
No, well, there is one player we've rested for the last 2 weeks. He's had one training session. He's one of our experienced players and he's been here 2-3 years. And we're keeping fingers crossed tonight. He's going to have a fitness test tonight and see if he can get through a training session. That's Anthony McDonald. And he'll be the only one coming back. Unfortunately, the one we're really going to miss is the goalkeeper. He's played in Portugal all his life, I think Division 1. And we went unbeaten until November. Then he got an injury and he's been out for 6 weeks. Then we put the number 2 in goal, he got injured. Then we put the number 3 in goal, he's now injured. So now we've had to sign Ashley Harris, who was at the football club a few years ago. And I feel confident with him. You know, he's a nice lad and a good goalkeeper, but we are on number 4 goalkeeper at the moment.
That's incredible. I suppose I was next on the list, Tom, I'd imagine. I was going to say as well that, you know, I'll speak about myself here because I'm not speaking about you, but I want to bring it to you. Now, on occasions like this, I would always be saying to my lads, you know, get in their faces, you know, let's use our strength, or let's intimidate them a little bit because they're big time Charlies, which they're obviously not. But you're trying to wind the lads up to go out and get them sort of in faces and at least ask Leighton Orient a question early on. How difficult has that been with just having a match abandoned a couple of weeks ago?
Well, it's been difficult because that's where our top goal scorer got suspended. I left him out of the game and I played all these youngsters with the Leighton Orient game in mind. And we were playing Heybridge, one of the favourites. And with 20 minutes to go, I thought to myself, the youngsters have done well. We could win this. Let's throw Ralston Gabriel on. And unfortunately, an incident happened in the game. He's got sent off. And that's our luck at the moment. It's very difficult. You know, as a back four player goalkeeper, you need someone to ease the pressure up the other end sometimes, maybe get you a goal and ease a little bit of pressure. But I'm having to play a player called Chris Benjamin, who's been out injured now for 6 weeks. He played last Saturday, but the good thing about it is he was rejected from Leighton Orient as a first-year pro. So You know, it's, anything could happen. And then there's the lad who's playing behind him, Harrison Giorgio, who's also been rejected by Leyton Orient. And I could go on and on. There's about four.
Well, that's good. Players. That's great motivation.
Yeah, that's great motivation. You know, I mean, I've managed Leyton Orient youth team, reserve team, caretaker manager. So the boys know the history, and hopefully they're going to step up and first of all get a performance. And if the result comes, the result comes. A draw will be like a win for us, I think.
Oh, absolutely. To go back there would be great fun. Last one for me. I know I've hogged it a wee bit, Tom. I'm sorry. How do you word this? The eyes of non-league football will be on you after recent events. You know,
I think so.
Do you try? How do you? Because I'm trying to get it. What I'm trying to get the point of it. I don't want to rub your nose into it. I'm trying to get the point of where that you have to. You have to try and wind your players up and get them ready to go out and give the performance of a lifetime. But now you're beside that, you're in the situation where you desperately need the game to go without any incident. How do you balance that?
Well, look, it's my team talks are always have respect for the officials, keep your discipline, channel your aggression. Always say that at the beginning of any team talk. But you know as well as I do the passion which, you know, thrives in a game like this. Sometimes it's hard for youngsters and players who haven't been in this position to keep that bit of discipline. But I'm hoping events of recent, they've learnt by their mistakes, albeit it wasn't all our fault what happened last week. I don't really want to comment any more on that. Hopefully they've seen how things have happened and developed, and hopefully keep their discipline first, because that's got to be the first thing, is discipline. You know, if you can't keep your discipline, then you won't be on the pitch for very long. And if you're not on the pitch for very long, that's the end of the game for you. So, you know, it's a big moment for these kids. My whole back line is under 19 years old. The majority of my team is 20 and 21. So, and they're a good bunch of kids. It's a couple of the experienced players what lost their discipline a little bit, and hopefully the youngsters have seen this. And you know, sometimes you can learn an awful lot from events like what happened last week.
Absolutely, you do. Listen, I wish you well. I really wish you well. And I know it's,
I've been critical.
Yeah. I've been critical of both sides. It wasn't at the game, but I want to put it on record. And no match should be abandoned at our level, but. But I do think that I wish you well, and I hope that your side gets shown in its proper light.
Yeah. I hope so. I mean, look, the game was abandoned in the 92nd minute. I don't think I've ever seen a game abandoned in the 92nd minute, and it wasn't due to the players. And, you know, that's all I could say on the matter, because it's still, the FA is still dealing with it. So it wasn't really down to the players. There was one incident between two players. You know, people get involved. The referee called it off for whatever reason he did. We'll have to wait and see the outcome of it.
Yeah, I respect that.
And Tom, I mean, you are one of the longest-serving managers in non-league as well, aren't you? So you've seen a few games.
Yeah, I think so. I've been around a little bit, as they say. But I've been at a club I love and adore, which is Haringey Borough. When I first came in 9 years ago, we were more. Nothing more than a Sunday outfit, and we have turned this place round. And the club's going places, and hopefully it could continue. You never know, we might even be in the next round, mightn't we, after this Saturday. So, you know, that'd be another big game for us. We've been working hard all week to get everything right. Safety supporters, getting everything right around the place. It's been a lot of hard work, and all I want is that little bit of a reward, which will be a good performance. If the result comes, a draw, it will be like a massive win. If we win it, then it'll be out of this world.
Yeah, so, you know, hopefully, you know, FA Trophy next round as well. But what else are the aims for this season? Playoffs last season in the Isthmian North, and you're just outside, but you've got games in hand. You know, but does a trophy run then impact on that? Because it's still games you've got to play. You know, what is the aim? What's the minimum this season?
Of course, look, we're four or five games behind because we had a good FA Cup run and now a good FA Trophy run. Minimum, we want to be getting into the playoffs again. I feel like I've got a stronger squad this year. And up until 3 weeks ago, We were, I think, two points off the top and 3-4 games in hand. It hasn't turned out the way we wanted it, but we just need to keep going and hit that playoff position. And if we get in the top two, it's automatic promotion. So that will be a massive bonus for us.
Well, we wish you well at the weekend, and we will be keeping an eye out. And you know, hopefully you get that minimum of a draw, and a slightly bigger payday as well. We're going down back out to Leighton Orient. But thanks for joining us, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your advice. Thanks,
chaps. Again, it sounded a very intelligent, a very well composed approach from a manager there, going into such a big game with so many things on his back.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to look at when we first started talking about the team and losing several key components of his team, and Dave will know more than anyone. When you lose a span of your team, Dave, it's very, very hard to put something in place that's going to be able to compete. But I think the bonus he's got is several players or Leighton Orient, or let's so to speak, rejects that have not carried on at Leighton. So that's going to be good for him. He's got an experienced goalkeeper a bit, though, after losing three. But he's experienced. He knows how to wind the players up in the right manner. They're playing Leighton Orient, as he said, 4-1 last week in their game with a new manager. But Leighton Orient have been up and down so much this season. They won't fancy, as you rightly say, Dave, they won't fancy going there, I don't think. Their priority this season is to stay up in the division, opposed to maybe winning the cup. It'd be an added bonus if they did. But we see the team last season go to Wembley and win a trophy and also get relegated. So I think their main focus is going to be on the league and the status of staying in within the league. And they've got a good opportunity, even with the youngsters in there. They'll be fired up. And if they can get a win at home, fantastic. But if they can get back to Leighton Orient, you know, playing at a really nice league ground, big payday, big crowd, and see if they can do it there.
Yeah, agree. I I feel sorry for Tom in a way, because, you know, this is a fixture that it's a brilliant draw for you in the trophy. You know, you. As a manager, it's happened to me before. You're sitting going, oh, I wish you could get them. And you get the big game. You go, brilliant.
Mm.
Then all you want is a real smooth run into it. You try and keep it away from the lads and get them to concentrate on their games, their league games, because that's what we're all employed to do. But you know, at the back of your head, you've got the big cup tie coming up. And coming into the sort of week or two, coming into that, all you want is it to go smooth. And my God, has it gone anything but smooth for Tom, you know, and I thought it was brave of him to even pose on the abandonment. You know, we didn't want him on to talk about that. We wanted him on to talk about this tie, but I think listeners would understand that it is part of what's happening with his club at the moment. So he has to deal with that. And then he has to deal with, like, losing three goalkeepers. I don't think I've ever lost three goalkeepers in a season, never mind a week. And I think he said, what, 7 of his side not available?
Yeah, that's right.
That's just he must have run over 2 black cats instead of 1, because that's just really, really unfortunate. But you have to put a good slant on it, and I thought he did that well. He put a real positive slant on it. And listen, I fully expect Leighton Orient to win, because I've always said that I think Justin Edinburgh is a league manager, and he's had a big club that needs to be turned around, and he will turn it around. You know, that would be my prediction. But I just feel sorry for Tom, because he'd want to be going into the game. I think if he played Leighton Orient with his full team and a smooth sort of run into the game, and they could beat 4-0, it wouldn't bother him.
I think
the fact that this is just, it's cruel, nearly, you know.
Well, I think one of the things
that's the way it is.
Yeah, I think one of the things, Dave, that's in his favour, though, for Tom, I suppose, is the fact that he's been at the club for quite a while now, you know, since 2008, 2009. A manager that's maybe been there only a couple of seasons, and this comes, it would be hard to tell you, but he's got the contacts. He seems to have brought in some you know, good replacements. And it'll be interesting, as you say. Leighton are favourites, and Justin Edinburgh has got a motor in, you know, first game in, beating, you know, last week being sort of the top team, by, you know, not by a small margin, but by a country mile, really. It's going to be very, very interesting. But it'll be a good game. And, you know, whoever wins into the next round.
from one Step 4 club chasing promotion in trophy action this week to another Step 4 club in trophy action being chased by everybody else in their league. Let's head to the Southwest and the Evostick Southwest Division. 19 games played and Taunton Town are 13 points clear at the top with 11 games unbeaten. This week they welcome struggling National Southside Bognor Regis Town in the FA Trophy and are hoping for a cup set. Joining us to tell us more is the Taunton Town chairman, Kevin Sturmey. Good evening, Kevin. Afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I say 13 clear and 11 unbeaten, but I understand it was a tough call on Tuesday night against Inverford Town.
Yeah, it was. I think we were a little bit tired. We looked a little bit leggy after Saturday's efforts against Salisbury, where we were brilliant in the first half, and I think that took a lot out of us. The energy levels were brilliant on Saturday, and Cinderford were very good. You know, fair play to them. They passed it really well. They passed it out from the back, and they exposed us a little bit, and we were probably a little bit tired on the night. And good job for that goal after 30 seconds.
I guess if you're on it, these sort of things go for you, aren't you? Are you confident then going into the FA Trophy game? You know, team higher than you, but you're the ones that are on the run.
Quietly, I think we're always underdogs against the teams from two levels higher or three levels higher. But we don't fear anybody. We're playing really well at the moment. Confidence is high, but you also have to respect every team you play. And I think the standard of football in non-league now is so high that on the day it is all about on the day. And if we perform on the day, then I think we'll cause Bognor problems. But if they perform on the day, then they will be favourites.
And you've got. Going back to the league, you've got games in hand at the top of the table there as well as being clear. But I guess these are still games that need to be played. So does that mean that an FA Trophy run, might be a great thing and a great buzz around the club, is it maybe not as welcomed as it might have been in previous seasons?
It doesn't hurt us quite as much as the FA Cup. The FA Cup obviously sort of impinges massively last year. But the FA Trophy, it doesn't really hurt us quite so much because the first two rounds are they're set dates. So, but after that, it's been a bit lucky, to be quite honest, because whenever we've had a couple of rounds subsequently, we've been at home. So it means obviously clubs have got to travel to us. So, so we have been a little bit lucky. Sometimes things go your way when you're doing well.
And from the outset of the season, was it always you're looking for promotion from day one, and maybe a little cup run? What was the aim, and are you ahead of schedule at the moment?
Yeah, our ambition is always promotion. We've been in the playoffs the last 3 years and haven't quite made it up yet. This year, with the extra team and maybe two teams, so maybe three going up from this division, it's the year to get promoted. And obviously with the reorganisation at Step 3 and 4, it should be a little bit more regional. So it's a good year, but our ambition, we all want cup runs every year, but they're never going to happen every year. But last year was our year in the FA Cup, and the trophy's nice this year.
So things are obviously looking good on the pitch, but how are things off of it? You're obviously not quite as remote as Truro City, but and other clubs maybe up next level and beyond. But do you look at how they struggle with travel and attracting players and are you putting into place additional plans or something if you move up to the next level? You think that's going to be a challenge?
Yeah, we're a sustainable club. We run it as a business first with football at the end of it, which is often the reverse in football. But we're a sustainable business, and we're ready for the next level. And we've got the infrastructure in place. And I think we've worked really hard behind the scenes, on and off the pitch. We dovetail. And, there's a great deal of rapport between the management, the players and the backroom staff and the fans now. There's a real good rapport, and we're all in it together, basically. And, there's a sign in our change room which says you're nothing without each other, and we need everybody. We need everybody fighting the same cause.
And I was a number of years since I was last down your way, but I remember you being quite a community spirited club as well. I remember you right on the edge of a park and by the fire station. Yep. Is that right? So, the non-league sat nav kicks in every now and then.
Yeah, we got a park next to us. We'd like a little bit of that for a three 3G training pitch one day, and the fire station's next to us, and the ambulance station, and one of our directors is a doctor in the doctor surgery just down the road, and the bus depot's behind us as well. So yeah, we're we've got a JPL set up, you know, and we've linked with Bridgewater and Taunton College for education. So we've got a pathway now, and our development coach has also got a small coaching business. So we've got a pathway now from 4 years upwards to 21, 22, because the college have also just secured university status as well. So so yeah, everything's going in the right direction. Days like Saturday are great to market the club to the wider audience.
And it sounds like it's a good time to be the chairman of the club as well, isn't it?
I'm also head groundsman and chief executive. It's not such a good time to be head groundsman.
No, not a good time to be groundsman this week, no.
No, it's going to be tough. You know, it's my body's already struggling, and come Christmas Day, I think everything's going to be creaking and groaning. But if you win games, it makes a big difference. Nothing hurts quite as much as when you're winning. But when we took over in 2010, we were in a very, very poor position. You know, we were massively in debt. The pitch was terrible. The stadium was falling apart. And we've worked really hard, but we've always tried to do it the right way, and we've always tried to make sure we're sustainable. And now we're externally virtually debt free. So it's we've paid off, I think, about 300,000 worth of debt, and the pitch is now one of the best in non-league. Blow my own trumpet there,
but we
work hard on every area, and it's important. But when you get things right, we have no problem attracting players to come and play for us.
Well, we wish you well at the weekend, and we'll be looking out for that result, but we're also looking out for you at storming the rest of that division for the rest of the season. So thanks for talking to us, and speak to you soon, Kevin.
Pleasure.
Chaps, it's a big round, this FA Trophy round, because the National League club's coming in. There's £6,000 to the winners of each of the games. You know, so it really becomes important, doesn't it, the FA Trophy, however well you're doing in the league?
Oh, it does, because you've got a chance to go to Wembley. You've got a chance to play against massive opposition. You know, you get drawn against sides in leagues that you're not in, so you get to visit new places. It's brilliant. It's a real fun time, and now that the finances are a little bit better, it's important for the club, you know. But I think that they stand a chance because, you know, Bognor are struggling a little bit, but will come and play football because they only really do it one way. Bognor, you know, they're always easy on the eye. And it's never an easy journey down there, you know, down to Taunton. So I'm the worst predictor in the world. I'm going to predict an upset.
Well, I think you're right, though, guys. I mean, at this stage of the competition, you're one eye on possibly Wembley. But the other thing is, I mean, I remember when FC got to the quarterfinals of this competition, and we went down to Torquay, and it was pitting your wits against higher opposition, getting a taste of what, like, National League football. We were at the time, we were in the Northern Premier League, and it was an opportunity to see how the other half lived, so to speak. Our players went down on the Friday, so they got an opportunity to have a bit of rest. The players that were injured and myself went down, we flew down actually to Exeter on the Saturday from Ringway Airport. Three of our players didn't want to get on the plane because they saw they were just propellers and didn't trust them. and you get that real camaraderie because it's a long journey, certainly when we play Torquay, but you get to see what it's like actually and what it might be like if you got into the National League, where, as we know, vast majority of teams now are full-time. Those that aren't even full-time have to go away on a Friday if they're going some form of distance. So it gives you an idea of what the real sort of like the higher echelons of football about, and it gets a chance, as Dave says, to pit your wits against good quality opposition. And we were beaten on the day, but we learned a lot from that, and I'm very envious that this Saturday we're not in the draw, unfortunately. We're not playing, we've been knocked out already, and it's a great competition, and I will be down at Wembley to watch both the Vars and the Trophy in the middle of next season.
Yeah, Swampy, your guys are obviously not involved this weekend, but there are some big guy games up there up north. Blyth Spartans at home to AFC Telford, certainly one that jumps off the sheet there.
Yeah. I mean, Blyth have got a great history in the FA Cup. The tradition in the northeast for the Vars is, as we know, second to none. Probably got the best record winning that competition. And Blyth at the moment in the league are doing brilliantly well. I've got a top draw manager. And, you know, Telford themselves, another big name. I think it'll be a tough ask for Telford to go up to Blyth and to win, in all fairness. But it'll be a good game of football from two ex-giants of the game, really. But Blyth, yeah. Exceptionally good to watch, as Spennymoor are and a few others as well. But they'll be looking to go one next step further, because they'd want to be playing, as I said earlier, they probably want to play a national league team to pit the wits against to see how far they are.
Okay, so two teams already in the show who are on the up and enjoying their seasons. With a flick of a switch, however, your club could very easily be looking up in vain, struggling on and off the field and feeling like the world is against you. Our next guest may well have been forgiven for ducking our calls and rocking quietly in the corner, but currently bottom of the table of the Northern Counties East Premier, 21 games without a win, Clipstone FC may be about to become the second favourite side of every non-league fan. Vice Chairman Andy Sumner joins us on the line, and he's still smiling and very proud of his club. Good afternoon, Andy.
Afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, but I said 21 games, but that's this season, is it? I think it's 25 games since the last point. Is that right? It's
lovely. Thank you for my note. Perfect. That. Thank you. Really. It probably is. I'll be honest. I think I've lost count. I've got enough fingers and toes that I've lost count now. So it is. It's a few games. Let's put it that way. And a little bit challenging, but you know what? We're in good spirits.
Well, it is, and it's, you know, there's been a lot of changes off the field, isn't there, and at the heart of it all, I think the chairman stepping down about this time last year, wasn't it, which then led to the change of management, and the whole structure of the club has had to change. You lose people, you lose finances, and you just have to start again, don't you?
You do, and you know it's a fascinating thing, because my story is I was helping the club out as a photographer for a while, just taking pictures. It's my childhood club. I went back and helped, and then literally over one weekend, you see some news and you see that the chairman's resigned and some committees pulled away, and you're a bit angry at first, but and again, no football club, has got the God-given right to get funding and to get backers, and it was right for the chairman at that time to pull out for business and personal reasons. And, God, what a challenge it was, unfortunately, as a lot of people know, I think, a lot of smaller clubs know that when your budget goes, actually your players go. We only had two players who wanted to play for us the week after. Which can imagine a bit challenging, and we nearly had to pull out of the league. But we regrouped. We said, look, what we're about. Let's get back local. We'd lost our local identity, and we signed 22 players in a week, and it was brilliant. We got a local manager backing local players, and risen to the challenge. We had a bit of a halo effect. First 11 games, we did really well actually. Really competitive, but then we have struggled, but we're off the field, we're brilliant. We've taken massive step forward. We're well organised. We know all our budgets. We know our finances, but we just can't buy a point at the minute. It's just a bit challenging.
Swampy, I think you got a question.
Yeah, it was. Listening to you, the sound of your voice, it would suggest that you sound like you're top of the division opposed to bottom of the division. I suppose that's what football does for you, doesn't it, Andy? And my question is really, what off the pitch, obviously, it sounds like a lot of things are being put in place and it looks like the club are going forward, certainly from a community side of things. But from the footballing side of things, what are the challenges that you face this season? Obviously, bottom of the division at this moment in time. Yeah. But what are the challenges and what are your expectations from a vice chairman and also from the supporters and the players and indeed the manager at this moment in time?
I think our challenges were that we wanted to bring local players in. So that was the first challenge. Second challenge is we want to bring local players in with 7 days. That was a big challenge. We also wanted to bring a manager in who we thought we, you know, could manage at this level as well, but that was at step seven. So essentially what we've had to do is bring step seven into step five. What I hadn't realised is just how difficult that is, because that's a big step up. It's a brutal league that we play in. When I say brutal, you know, some good budget, some good players and very experienced. So, and to a certain extent, when we started, we got the halo effect of a good step seven team, really wanting to play for each other, really wanting to make a difference. And so they, you know, they did really well. But as, you know, as the new season's come along, you know, teams have, I'll be honest, teams have strengthened. You know, I've noticed a massive step change in this league to strengthen. And we've not, you know, we've not been able to attract the quality of player to do that. And we're conscious of that. You know, we have got some resources, but not a lot. And we did say that we wanted to be sustainable. That was really important, and also hopefully local but not naive. So I think, you know, our challenge for us is, you know, I watch with interest. You know, we still have a manager. You know, he has, you know, gone 21 games unbeaten, and he's still with us. And most people are amazed by that. But at the same time, we've got a lot of loyal players travelling, and as most of you know on this programme, you know that some of these, you know, step five leagues, we travel miles, you know, and they're all dedicated. And you know, if I spoke to half a dozen sides in our league in the past 10 weeks, some of them wouldn't say, you know, we either deserve to leave. It's not as though we come off like a scouts team and lost, you know, 19-0, but give some good teams a run for the money, you know. And so we've come close. So we feel like we're nearly there. We feel like, you know, if we get a win, we could, you know, we could almost like get promoted, you know, but being sort of facetious. But we do think that, you know, if we get a win, we can get a bounce, then, you know, we can do well on a day. So I do think when I look at the games, some days I think, God, we could hold our own. Our challenge has been against the top teams, we can hold our own. When we play some of the weaker teams who we should be beating, we sort of not turned up. That's football. That is just football. I'm sure that goes for every single level. So that's why we've got optimism. In terms of expectation of manager, you know, we're unlikely to manage step five next season. We know that. Obviously, we've no points at the moment. Our eyes on being sustainable at the next level. You know, we've got to make sure that we build a team or cater a building team. Because next year we do want to hold our own. You know, we're doing well off the pitch. We haven't got resources, but I think we can still compete.
Andy, I agree with a lot of that. I think it's a real difficult situation. What I'd be saying is that if you can't bring someone in who is off the level, then you have to at least give someone time to learn how to be off the level. And that seems to be, if you have no finances, you have to do that. And that's players and management. And that will take them a season to, it'll take you a season to understand, is the manager learning and is he capable of dealing with the level? It'll take him a season to, if there's no money to lay out to get players off the level, to bring in young players and sort of give them experience at playing in that league. So I think you're right in what you're saying, is that this season in many ways is a write-off, but in many ways it's also the building block of what happens next year.
Yeah, but you know, for the bronze for our manager is that, you know, he's got to still continue to convince it the team, which, you know, miracle we have a stop at step five, but also want to hold our own in step six. So we assess that. I'll be honest, you know, there's some weeks when I walk away, I think, oh God. But assessing that, ongoing and saying, are we building this in the right way for the future, and that we'll hold our own? Because plenty of clubs, happens at every level. Premiership, go down to Championship, next thing you know, they're bottom, look at Sunderland. Happens in our league. You know, a couple of clubs went down last year from step five, had to rebuild, didn't rebuild in the right way, and are now bottom of step six. We're trying to avoid that, but it's hard. And particularly when, you know, we've got a brilliant manager, you know, he's a club man, best club man you'll get. Cleans the minibus out, does a kit and everything. But he knows, you know, we have some good conversation, and he knows that he's building for the future. But equally, he's building for the future, but wants to win tomorrow. You know, every single week we want to win and we get a good go, you know. So, we're not always had the best luck as well. We got vandalised, you know, a month or so ago, 2 months ago, and, you know, that didn't help the cause either. which was not good.
No, I, to be fair, we knew that. And all, I actually said to Swampy before you came on, Andy, that, you know, you've gone through all this bad luck with, you know, with and the vandalism. And then we invite you on our show. You must feel like it can't get any worse now. You know, you've done this, you've hit the bottom, and it's only up.
My life's full of ups and downs, as they say. But because when we did get vandalised over one weekend, and, you know, I can't explain how gutted I was. I wasn't gutted for me, I was gutted for the committee, because they worked their heart and soul off. So, you know, as I say, at the back of the club, we've got, you know, great social media, all the good things that a good club runs on. I'm really proud of them. But we got vandalised. Mindless vandalism, you know, they cut through all our shutters. And literally bolt-cutted them through, got in. There wasn't anything there. It's the most uninspiring place to break into. Nothing in there. You know, a few pasties and stuff. And then they just went and vandalised it. So on the Sunday morning, I'm sat on my laptop and waiting for some cafe for my daughter who was ice skating. And I just did a little bit of an emotional thing on social media, you know, because I did feel emotional. You know, on social media, it's like the good things and bad things of social media. But the good thing was, what could happen was someone read it, liked it, and then someone just put a comment. The lonely person who's got nothing else to do put a nice little comment. He didn't. It went viral, you know. And I think it went viral because people knew what we've been trying to do in the right way. We've been trying to do it. We've made some great friends along the way. We've had a smile on our face. And so it went viral, I think, for that. And, you know, our Facebook post got shared, you know, 1,000 times. It's got retweeted 1,000 times. 100,000 people saw it. And then on that Monday morning, my sponsors rang me and said, right, we'll put a new shutter door up for you. We'll replace your pie warmer. One of my sponsors said, I'll repaint it for you. And then at 10 o'clock, you know, Mansfield Town rang me. Steve Evans, you know, good old character Steve, said, I've heard the good things that happen in the club, because we host Mansfield Town's Academy games in the week as well. It's a good little earner for us, and it really helps them. And he said, I'll bring a team. And I thought, wow, you know, how brilliant is that, you know, because, and I have to say, Steve, at the time, what a pain that is for you, Steve. Wet cheesy night in November, you're going to bring a team to, and I will bring a strong side, he said. And to his word, he did. And we got, you know, over 400 people, community people turn up. We got our local youth teams, because we hadn't really got a relationship with our youth teams before we came in. And that's something I wanted and the committee wanted to do. So we got all the youth teams up there, and Mansfield Town turned up, 400 people. You know, they were brilliant. Mansfield Town, obviously, we're told that you've got to take this game seriously. So they did. And at at half time, we were 7-0 down. Yeah. They never stopped. And then at half time, hey presto, we were just taking out a speed tunnel to entertain the children. And then all the lights went off and all the electric went off. And we blew two massive 100 amp fuses and we couldn't recover it. You know, so, and it was interesting for me because we managed to get championship referees and linesmen who kindly donated their time. So we were busy contingency planning like a big game. And we had to call it off, unfortunately, because it wasn't for our Mansfield Town players. But no one moaned, you know, at the end of the day. They said, look, keep the money. It's not a problem. We know you've raised some money. And the good thing is, you know, I can imagine I was destroyed, you know, in terms of losing the lights at half time. But brilliant thing is, got the optimism. We've now got more money than we started. We're going to invest it in the clubhouse. Needless to say, we have got better electrics. I've upgraded those last week because we didn't want that to happen to us again. And you know, the most important thing for me was on that night was our youth teams got to be guard of honour. We had 50 youth team out there doing guard of honour with mascots. That was fantastic. And secondly, the players who have travelled to Pontefract, to Bridlington on a wet Tuesday night, 200-mile round trip, got the chance to play their local professional team. That meant a lot to me, just to say, you know, thank you for what they did. So that again was good out of bad, you know, a challenge out of nothing, you know. So we as you say, we keep on smiling and we keep on assessing. We are deadly serious. We haven't got a manager because we don't want to be able to make decisions. We it's still a difficult decision for us every week. We still have to reevaluate it. You know, you know, our manager Ian is a great guy. He knows that we're all going in the right direction, and we've just got to make sure we carry on doing that.
Well, it's a It's a tale. I was going to say it's a great tale, but it's not a great tale. But it's a great tale of non-league camaraderie, isn't it?
And it's not a great tale yet, but it will be.
And but it isn't all doom and gloom as well. You're in the quarters of the not senior cup as well, aren't you? You know, there's
we are. We had a couple of rounds of the FA Cup. We had a couple of rounds of the FA Trophy. So again, that's been positive. We've given a couple of the top teams a run for the money. They played, as you know. So that's not, we don't go, you know, we have tough games, but we never go into those games thinking we're going to lose. We go into them thinking we could get something here. And again, as long as our players are learning, developing and growing, as individuals and as players, you can't put a price on it. At the same time, you know, we might have to change things.
Yeah, and just when you're hoping for a decent set of winnable fixtures going into Christmas, you're away to Pontefract Collieries this weekend, who they're top of the table, aren't they?
Yeah, they sort of average five everything they do, really. They mainly score five goals in every single game. One of our players actually went to Pontefract recently. You know, great club. They're giving it a go this year, a real go. When we played them at our place, again, we gave them a good run for the money, but I think in any, it's interesting because one of the frustrations is that he's a relatively young and inexperienced side. What we found is that, you know, you give it a real good go, you're up to sort of 70 minutes, and then last sort of 10, 15 minutes almost doesn't do the game justice. You know, we come away losing 3-0 in games, and it wasn't justice. We were tired, we lost the discipline, you know, and we haven't had a brilliant discipline this year. And that's just been down to frustration. You know, we're asking players to step up. They've done a brilliant job at it. There's not one not tried. So I think some of the results have been more circumstantial around the time at a typical football match. You know, when you know you've tried to do your best and it just goes against you last 15. We had a great match against Ponte, but we'll give them another go on Saturday. To be fair, and we'll be professional. We're professional off the pitch. We'll do everything we can do. We'll be respectful, and we'll hope our players will grow. And if we come away with 3 points, brilliant. But if we don't, you know, we'll come away in the right spirit, and we'll come away learning. And then, as a committee, we'll continue to reevaluate, you know, and what it means, and what then we'll do. But I've never been this involved in the football club. It's fascinating, you know, it's challenging, if I'm honest. But I'm enjoying it because I remember that weekend, as I say, when two committee members left on their own, everyone else resigned, and they had to pull from the league. And I'm never going to let that happen, not to my club that I grew up in. And it's got a lot of history and, you know, a lot of things. So we're all there. We're stronger. So if we could get a win, it'd be like winning the FA Cup.
Well, take it from me. Once you're involved in a football club, you can't walk away. You know, I feel your pain, and I've endured it. But it's the one thing that keeps us all ticking along, isn't it? And it's great to hear you're doing it the right way, and that the club is going to grow. 2018, Clipstone FC, the big year for you guys.
I'm hoping so. You know, and I think it's going to be. Yeah, you know, our view is again, we try and take positive. You know, there's lots of changes at this league, at this level in football next year. You know, in terms of the football league pyramid, I think there'll be quite a few moves around the league because obviously our league is going to go down to a certain number, etc. So, I think there'll be change for quite a lot of people, and we're not naive to that change. We're almost like forward thinking. So you never know; it might just put us in a better position because we are prepared to be flexible next year in terms of what we do. But saying that, we're not unambitious. Our goal is to play at the best level we can possibly play on a sustainable basis. You know, so, you know, because, you know, I watch every week with interest lots of clubs having challenges when backers pull out. We're going to try and do it in the right way. So not having backers the wrong way, just the fact that we can't afford for it to be, you know, a hobby for someone and then they walk away. So it's all good stuff. And I think the other bit I forgot to mention, actually, which, I'm massively proud of, is we set up an under-21s this year. You know, last thing you need really when you're trying to sort out a club, but we said we want to do it in the right way, so we set up an under-21s, we funded it, we've subsidised it. It's been tough because we're not full of money, but I've got great sponsors, and that's really working well for us, and we're proud. I go up on a Tuesday night when I can after work, and when I see the under-21s playing, and it's a nice little ground we've got, brilliant. That's what it's all about, you know. So we'll continue to do that. We'll continue to work with the Colts teams and hopefully build another team next year so that again, building for the future. But I tell you what's really difficult. When you're really down, it's easy not to do that sort of stuff. And my hat's off to our committee. They're so hardworking. They're brilliant.
Well done to everybody at Clipstone, including yourself, Andy. And I'm sure there'll be a lot more fans looking out for your result this weekend up at Pontefract and for the season
Thank
coming.
You very
so
much.
Best of luck with it.
Thanks,
all.
Guys.
Speak soon.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck, mate.
So a disappointing week in the FA Cup with the exits of Woking and AFC Fylde and indeed Hereford, leaving no non-league sides left as the second round concludes. Even so, it has been an exciting year in the FA Cup for all non-league clubs. And joining us on the line to help us celebrate the same is our very own at FA Cup Fact Found, Mr. Phil Annett. Good afternoon, Phil.
Good afternoon, Tim. How are you doing?
Well, it's been a bit disappointing, hasn't it, with the way all those ties in the second round just sort of panned out.
Yeah, I mean, it's very unusual that in the second round, all the non-league clubs were up against EFL clubs. Normally, you'd get an all non-league tie, which would guarantee a non-league club in the third round, but unfortunately it's not gone their way this year, which is quite an interesting development following what happened last year with the success of Sutton United and Lincoln City. Seems to be that the league clubs maybe have raised their game this year, so it hasn't been terrific collectively, but as you said, there's been a lot of great individual exploits and great memorable FA Cup runs and results.
Yes, and so no games to preview with you coming on the show this time, but some awards to preview this time round. The factors are upon us again. What can you tell us?
Yes. Yeah, this is the third annual factors awards. The factors are the FA Cup Team Awards. I launched them a couple of years ago deliberately to recognise non-league clubs' achievements in the FA Cup. And not just those that go the furthest, but all sorts of achievements, whether it be big victories or whether it just be some special event that they put on to help raise the profile of the FA Cup. And they've been very well received. There's been thousands of people getting involved in the last 2 years, and I'm looking forward to running them again for the third year. They're going to be launched on Saturday, on the 16th, via my Twitter account at FA Cup Factfile. And we're going to be asking people to put their nominations forward for the four categories that are within the awards. And hopefully we'll get loads of people involved, whether they be fans or players or managers or coaches or volunteers or club members, whoever you are, and you're involved in non-league, then we'd love you to get involved. Just a bit of detail on the four categories that are coming up. There's the award for the performance of the cup. This recognises a best one-off performance, a giant killing, if you like, or some significantly big score or a comeback of some kind. If you look at who won it over the last 2 years, Chesham United won it in 2015-16 with their 1-0 win at League Two side Bristol Rovers. And that was a famous win for them. But the following year, Barrow were the winners, and they also won it after their 2-1 victory over Bristol Rovers. So it would have been good if someone had drawn Bristol Rovers again this year to give them a chance, but unfortunately that didn't happen. The second award is the Special Team Award. This is clubs who maybe they've produced something unique to promote the FA Cup match, or they've done something special within the competition. If I look at who won it over the last 2 years, Hartley Whitney won it a couple of years ago. And that was based upon their club spirit and their performances as they had their excellent campaign. And then last year, Lincoln City were the winners, based upon their support for the FA Cup from their fans, with over 7,000 of them going off to Oldham in the second round. And these awards were awarded before they went on their magnificent run to the quarterfinals. So they got that special team award last season. And then we have the Surprise of the Cup Award. This is the team who has the most unexpected result, or maybe the most unexpected cup run. So if we look at who won it in the last couple of years, you had Hoddesdon Town won it a couple of years ago. Well, they made it all the way to the third qualifying round, beating higher league opposition on their way. And then last year, we had the magnificent run from Westfields, who started off in the extra premier round and made it all the way to the first round proper, and also beating higher league opposition as they did so. And then the big one, the team of the cup. This is awarded to the club that epitomises the spirit and the approach of non-league clubs in the FA Cup. And it's a combination of success on and off the pitch. And the last 2 years' winners, we had Didcot Town win it in 2015-16. They were the lowest ranked club into the first round and had an excellent season that year. And then last year, the winners were Stourbridge, who have had a fantastic pedigree in the FA Cup of recent times, but went even further than they've ever done before by making the third round for the first time, which actually translates as the longest wait any club has ever had to wait to make it that far in the competition. So we've got some fantastic awards to come, and I really, like I say, really do hope that everybody will get involved and start off by nominating who they think should win those awards. And then after Christmas, I will be allowing everybody to vote either via Twitter or via my blog on facupfactfile.wordpress.com or through my Facebook page. So I'm really looking forward to hearing which clubs get put forward for this year's nominations.
And it's great to know that it's not just about the big clubs either. It's about those stories that we love about non-league, and particularly we love about the FA Cup, isn't it? So say if there's a fan out there that thinks actually their own club's FA Cup exploits didn't get the coverage it deserved this year, if they can get nominating, can't they? And we can hear more about that story and give that club a bit more coverage.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this gives the people the opportunity to think right back to the beginning of August about what happened way back then at the start of the competition. So we've had fantastic results back in the extra premier round and premier round, and even the first and second qualifying. So let's include all those and get people getting their thinking caps on about who do they remember had a fantastic FA Cup experience, whether it's a particular result or were able to follow their team through many, many games and saw them undertake loads and loads of exploits.
Well, as I'm sat here wrapped up in as many layers as possible, thinking back to the warmth of August and shorts and the start of the FA Cup, but that's a great place to start anyway.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, we all love the start of the FA Cup when everyone's got hope and the excitement is at its highest for the non-league clubs in the competition. Yeah, it is a shame this year we're still not seeing a lot of them.
Well, thank you once again for your time, Phil. We'll make sure that people are checking out your Twitter profile at FA Cup Fact File, and we'll keep in touch anyway throughout the season and see how the awards are going. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you, Alistair. Thanks for your support. Cheers for now.
Chaps, time's got the better of us again. We're running out of time every week. There's just so much to cover in non-league. So thank you to Dave.
Oh, just before you go, I know it's a non-league show, I just want to congratulate everyone at AFC Wimbledon. They've had the okay to have the new ground built. And apparently there's rumours it's the Dave Anderson Stadium. But no, in all seriousness, I am absolutely delighted for them. So I wanted to chuck it in, Tim. Thanks.
Are you going to get one of those big bronze statues outside? I mean, that's a lot of bronze, but...
Yeah, well, they would bankrupt them, wouldn't they?
Yeah, make it out of paper mache.
Thanks also to Swampy.
Good evening. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care of yourselves.
And thanks to all our guests, and thank you, of course, for listening. Don't forget, you can find us throughout the season on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, and if you want to put the podcast on your own website, check out www.nonleaguefootballshow.com, where you can grab an embeddable player for free. Thank you, and goodbye.
JABBA, JABBA.